Hooray for Zoidberg.
Woohoo!
Yay!
This is episode 101 on October 12th, 2014.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and anything else that might jump into our minds. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Mark Sadowski.
And we are not doing a live show this week. So,
Dylan, you son of a bitch.
How are you guys doing? Let's start with you, Matt.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I got a different tiny shutter on my desk, and it's not the one that we talked about earlier.
Ooh.
I got a game camera.
A game camera? What kind of game camera? Oh, for putting up on a tree?
Yeah. Nice. Something was tearing up my yard, but the thing that stinks is I figured out what it was before I put the game camera up, so now I'm not sure if I'm going to keep it.
It wasn't a small beast at all. In fact, I have audio footage of this.
What was it?
Needless to say, my yard is very torn up. No, in all seriousness, I think it's a skunk. I think I have grubs in my lawn.
Ooh, fun.
Oh, they'll do that.
Yep. So, yeah, I was hoping it was something more along the lines of what Mark caught on audio there.
Yeah, maybe not. So did you do any iPhone photography this week?
Yes, I did. Actually, quite a bit yesterday. We were up in Cuyahoga Valley National Park in Ohio here, which the more I visit, the more I really super-duper love this park. It's just really, I don't know, there's just a lot of really beautiful spots there.
Nice.
And let's see, since our last show, that's mostly what I did. I had like a whole ton of stuff I was hoping to do this past week, but you know, life just gets in the way. And last weekend we were in Pennsylvania and I was hoping to do a bunch of stuff in PA, but that just didn't really work out either. So moving forward, see what happens.
Nice. How about you, Mark? How about you, Mark?
Oh, I got a story. So yesterday I'm photographing a wedding, right? And we're winding down. I just finished the family photos and I'm just doing a few photos of the bride and groom. We're at the country club after we had photographed along the beach in Rye, New Hampshire. Gorgeous day, gorgeous sunset. Had to be said. I had to mention that. So the father of the groom was watching me photograph and he's like, "Oh yeah, I bet it's easy, you know, using a big Canon like that." I'm like, no, it's more than just the camera. And he was just joking. He's like, "Yeah, let me pull up my phone. Yeah. I bet I could do just as good of a job as you." I'm like, tough chance. You got an Android. And he's like, "Oh, you think your iPhone could do better?" I'm like, challenge accepted. I put down my Canon, pull up my iPhone, flick it open, and take a great portrait of the couple, show it to him. He's like, "All right, you got it." I'm like, "Booyah!" And I spike my iPhone on the ground. It was great.
You still haven't gotten your new one yet, huh?
No, I haven't gotten my new one yet. No, but in the heat of the moment, I just spiked my iPhone. The diff case breaks apart. I'm like, I didn't think I spiked it that hard. I pick it up. I'm like, confidently pick it up. I'm like, yeah, that's right. And then check to see if it's working. I'm like, okay, all right. So, yeah, do they make a diff case for the iPhone 6 yet?
I would think so.
Not that I've seen, but I also haven't really looked because I don't care. The moment lens ruined the diff case for me because – like the only I don't know. At first, when the Diff case first came out, I thought it was cool just because it had the tripod socket.
Yeah.
And I actually liked the little, like, flippy little cover thing that covered the screen.
Yep.
So then when they released the other version that had the little bayonet for attaching lenses, I thought, well, that's pretty cool too. I like the way the lenses attach and everything. And then I got a Moment lens, and now I don't care at all about Diff case.
Nice. Yeah, I got to look into that. I do want a tripod mount. I guess there's going to be other ways I could get that. But again, my iPhone has to come in the mail. I'm still waiting. The other thing I've been doing a lot is teaching people how to properly take photos and videos over the weekend. I had a wedding today and a wedding yesterday. And the wedding I did today was a very small one. And one of the bride's friends was going to video the wedding. I'm like, I looked to see if she was doing a photo or if she was doing video. I'm like, are you planning on watching this on the TV or the computer screen or anything like that? She's like, yeah, probably. I'm like, you don't want to hold it that way.
Yeah.
And then I showed her how to do it. I'm like, just turn it around. Horizontal. That's the way to go. You'll thank me later.
I did that to my boss with his iPhone 6, and apparently all the guys around that they're like, wow, you know, he's very passionate about not doing it that way. And I'm like, yeah, unless you want to mount your television, you know, vertically on your wall, why would you video that way? Then they all looked at me weird.
You tell them that I am passionate about it. This is my life. This is my goal. This is my calling in life.
But first, let me take a selfie.
They'll take you seriously.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But apart from that, I've been using my iPhone to do basic things. I was doing a lot of field tripping last week. And I didn't want to take my Fuji because it's going to be too big and I was going to be looking after too many kids.
Is that ironic?
Yeah. So the iPhone was perfect and I got a lot of great shots.
Nice.
Had fun. And it was fun because, again, it's very easy to use one-handed. The teacher on the trip, not the chaperone, I guess she was technically a chaperone, but my daughter's teacher was trying to take photos while she was holding another kid's hand. And she's like, I just can't do this one-handed. I'm like, let me show you how to do it.
Yes.
Flick it. Volume up button as you shutter. Boom. She's like, that is awesome.
I'm curious to see how it's going to be to do that with a 6 or a 6 Plus. You know.
Yeah, you'll have no problems. Hey, I got a question for you guys. Okay. Have you seen this appear on your Facebook page where somebody would post, I only see this very sporadically, but they'll post the secrets about your iPhone camera that Apple doesn't want you to know. And it's just stupid tricks about using the volume up button.
Oh my gosh.
Little things like that.
No, I have not seen it.
It's the most retarded thing because first, Apple wants you to know this. This is marketing 101 for them. And it's just Facebook.
That actually reminds me of my job. There are, you know, I do utility locates and I use a machine. I've been using this machine forever. And I have guys that have been using it for years that still don't know everything that they can do with it. And they go, how did you find that out? I was like, I watched the video that came with the machine. You know, it's stuff like this when they make an article for people who don't actually read the manual or read how to do things. It's a gold mine because then they're like, ooh, I'm going to learn something new. And then when they come and say, hey, do you know about? And you're like, yeah, about 4 years ago. They're like, what?
Well, truth be told, does your iPhone actually come with instructions?
No.
They don't exactly share that information, which I'll understand, but.
I think it was intuitive for us. I don't know.
Well, we saw the keynote. That's why it was intuitive.
Yes. Oh. Well, anyway. I had an interesting week of iPhone photography. Tuesday, I'm getting ready for our safety breakfast, and my VP walks up and says, "Hey, if you think there's a good time to take some pictures, can you take some?" I'm like, "Yes." And I'm thinking, is that a request, or is that do you want me to, or do you not want me?
What kind of pictures do you want to take?
Well, it ended up our work group got an award from the president of the company. And so there was our president, executive vice president, and our VP and everything. So I sat in front, and so when I said yes, he goes, "Oh, you brought your camera." I'm like, "I got my phone."
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me, and I'm like, "Don't worry. I got it. Don't worry." He goes, "Okay." He walked away.
It's okay. I'm from the internet. That's
Don't worry.
I got you covered.
Don't worry. I do a podcast on this. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, that's what you should have led with.
But no, I took pictures of the event, and I got a couple emails saying, "Hey, I saw you taking some pictures. Can I get some?" I'm like, "Yep, I already got it on Dropbox. Here's the link." And they're like, "You're awesome." I'm like, "Yeah." So I did that. And then last Sunday, I took some pictures for the website for our church. And I ended up using the iPhone instead of my Canon. I took pictures with my Canon just to kind of like fake them out a little bit, but I actually just went with the iPhone pictures. They'll never know. And then tomorrow I'll be taking more pictures of an event that my kids are going to be at. So yeah, it's fun. I like, you know, I like my Canon, but there's just, I think, more to it when I use my iPhone. I get more satisfaction out of taking the photos with my phone. And it's a lot easier because they're already on my phone when I edit them. So, but yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and get into the news.
News, right.
News team, assemble!
All right. Do we have some updates? Let's start with you, Matt.
Yes, actually, I got one kind of weird one to tell you guys about. So I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, but we were talking about True HDR, and we were talking about, you know, the EV slider and manual controls, all that nonsense. While here on the show, we thought all that stuff was really cool. I guess the general HDR populace did not agree. And actually, well, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I guess a lot of people don't like change. And there have been some complaints, and True HDR actually reverted their app back to basically it was version 3.0 when they updated it just recently. Now they've reverted it pretty much back to similar to version 2.6.
Wow.
So when you go back in, it looks just like the app used to look, and it works exactly the same way. You do have a manual HDR mode, which actually was missing from the update. So that's kind of cool to get that back. But if you super duper liked the new version, the makers of True HDR, which is Pictional LLC, they have a new app called Auto Bracket. And for a limited time, it is free. And it is basically the new version of True HDR. They just made a different app name for it.
Nice.
So it's got the little slider for your, you know, your brackets and the whole nine yards. So That's kind of a weird one. Yeah. I never heard of a company doing that, but, you know, whatever. I guess that was their way to make everybody happy. Let's see. What else? Okay, so this isn't really an update so much. Some kind of weird thing that I found the other night when I was poking around online. I'm not even going to like attempt to take credit for this. I was on CNET, and there's a guy that wrote a little article on CNET, Matt Elliott, how to access Hyperlapse's hidden settings. So that caught my eye, and I was like, hidden settings? Sign me up. I want to know more.
Yeah.
So I read his little article, and it turns out if you open the Hyperlapse app and then tap on the screen four times with four fingers, you'll get this hidden settings menu. Now, the first time I tried it, I got it to pop up. The next time I tried it, it took me like 20 tries to get it. So you know, you kind of have to do it just right. The way that the Matt Elliott says in this article, and it's the way that I found it to work best, is that your fingers shouldn't be too close together. So basically have some space between your fingers and don't tap like too quickly. So I don't really know like what is considered too quickly, but I just tapped four times on it and, you know, got it to work. But in any case, in these settings menu, it's called Hyperlapse Labs, which is actually what this settings menu is called. And the first thing inside there that you can adjust is your resolution.
Yes.
It's natively set to 720p, which honestly is probably the best setting since you're likely going to be uploading your Hyperlapse to Instagram. That's really the setting you probably want to keep it at for that. However, you can change it to 1080p. So if you kind of want that more full HD quality or whatever, you could get that. So that's kind of cool. You could also adjust the frame rate between 24 and 30 frames per second. And I need to play with that. I think it'll make a difference in your video in a couple ways. One is that possibly if you switch to 24 frames per second, the phone could use a slower shutter speed perhaps. And then it would also affect the amount of frames used in your Hyperlapse, because while it seems like it's taking an actual video and then speeding it up, what it's actually doing is pulling like a frame from every second's worth of video and then combining it together to speed it up.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So that's how Hyperlapse actually works. Then you have all kinds of other doodads in there. There's something called calibration mode, which the author of this article says that he thinks what it does is it allows you to basically start like a Hyperlapse, and then while it's doing its thing, you can adjust the exposure level.
Oh.
This to your camera roll. So basically you would adjust your exposure to whatever you want it to be, and then you could start over again. There's another thing called Hyperlapse Extreme, which I enabled. And what that does is it gives you two extra frame rate settings. It basically gives you a 24 times and a – or not frame rate, but a playback speed setting is what I mean to say. 24 times and 40 times. So if you have like a iPhone 5 or 5S and you're taking advantage of 45 minutes worth of recording, but you know, you don't want it to take 10 minutes to play it back, you could set it to, you know, 40 times and have like a minute long video.
Nice.
So that's kind of cool. And then there's just, there's all these like weird sliders that I have no idea what they do, and I'm too afraid to touch them. Like for instance, there's a whole section called sound levels, and like the first one is called check mark, and it's set at 0.1125, which is kind of close to the left side of the slider. I don't know what that does, so I'm not going to touch it. And it just goes on and on. There's all kinds of weird sliders. Some of them have to do with the selfie mode. I don't even know if that's something we covered. You could do selfie time, hyperlapses.
Why would somebody want to hyperlapse a selfie?
I can
imagine.
You'll
be surprised.
Yeah. I think about it. That's really no different than what everyone's doing with GoPro cameras. You know, skiers and stuff that have the GoPros out on the end of a pole pointed back at themselves.
Oh, God.
You know, it's the same thing. That's the way I see it anyway. But, I don't know. It's just something kind of neat to play with. It's almost like a game just trying to get the screen to pop up in the first place. But there are a few cool little doodads to enable and disable and change in that menu.
Okay, I got a question.
No.
Okay, thanks.
Oh. No, sir.
the hyperlapse videos, do they get saved to the photo album, or is it only good? Does it only go straight to Instagram?
No, you can save them to your photo album.
Maybe I did it wrong. Okay.
I'm sure it's user error.
Now, can you still use it? And yeah, probably is. Like my 5C, I don't have Instagram on it. Would it still probably show, or does it work in conjunction with Instagram?
No, you don't have to have an Instagram account
to
use Hyperlapse.
Cool. Now I just got to find the video.
There you go. Well, good luck.
Yeah.
I haven't made a hyperlapse in kind of a while, so I don't remember what the once you render it or whatever, I don't remember like what the options are.
Yeah.
But I don't remember having to save it to Instagram because all of my hyperlapses have been much longer than 15 seconds. They've been, usually over a minute long. So I don't even think I've actually posted any of my hyperlapses to Instagram. Maybe I did two of them actually, but I had to go in and pick out which part of it I wanted it to be in Instagram.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to have Instagram. It'll save right to your,
I've posted the full versions of the hyperlapses on Facebook.
Yeah.
So I know it had to have been in my camera roll for me to access it.
Okay. Yeah, look under recently added.
Yeah, that didn't happen. So there must have been something that I didn't do. Okay.
Save.
There's a save option?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I just downloaded it today, so I don't. I know Johnny come lately, but I'll have to play with it tomorrow. All right. Anything else?
Maybe
about
you
hyperlapse?
Found a bug. Maybe you found a bug. Maybe they did an update and they took out like any way to save it.
That's probably true.
No, it's not.
No, it's probably operator error.
Very likely in this case.
All right. Anything else about hyperlapse?
No, that's all I got.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I would be changing too much in the labs. It didn't look like there was a set to factory standards or anything like that. You know, in case you mess something up.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing that. That would be nice, though, if there was, because then I would feel a lot more comfortable messing around with all those sliders.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was something that was recently added just to garner some interest in the app again, because before iOS 8 came out, this was a popular app. I mean, for the most part, it had some legs on it. And now that iOS 8 comes native with time-lapse, I don't think many people were using it anymore. So I wonder if this was snuck in a patch update and they leaked it. Yeah, just, you know, tinfoil hat question.
I was trying to see if you could do four taps on other apps, but it doesn't look like it works.
I mean, you can. It just won't
work. Well, yeah, it's not going to work.
If you do it too much, it'll cause your iPhone to self-destruct.
There's so many things I want to know what they do. Like, there's something called Hyper Flip Tone. A lot of these, I honestly don't think
that's self-explanatory.
There's actually a lot of these, I don't think they're anything. I just think that they're just made up like nothing. Just like in there just to be silly.
Yeah, even when you look at the numbers to the right, you know, it's like 0.1125. It's like, okay.
Yeah, like that means nothing. So like there's like save, delete, cross down. Save, delete, cross up. Like, what are the, or here's one. Selfie, flip, purr. And purr is P-U-R-R. Like purr like a kitten.
What that does is every tenth of a second, it'll add a photo of Tyler Durden to pop up and then disappear.
Is that like for subliminal messages?
No, none of you saw Fight Club?
No. I saw the DVD cover.
So at the whole way at the bottom of the Hyperlapse Labs, there is an option to save the sound levels to the clipboard. So you could do that and then go in and see what they were and tweak them back. But that's not as easy. It's just like a revert to default button.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is weird.
Yeah, it's a silly app.
Well, it's weird. No, at least if you listen to the show, you could be...
I think we lost Matt.
The Hyperlapse people phoned him.
Yeah, Instagram was like, oh no, these guys are figuring us out. We got to get rid of this guy. Call Microsoft.
You back, Matt?
Yes.
We lost you for a second. Whatever you were saying got cut off.
Yeah. Instagram got in touch with Microsoft and took you out.
Oh, I just got your yes. Instant message. Did we lose him again? Matt, you there?
I'm in and out for some reason.
Oh,
gosh.
All right. Any other apps you want to talk about?
No.
No. Okay. I was going to bring up an app, but Mark, why don't you go ahead and let's get into our topic.
Oh, okay. Do we have a something for our topic? I'll just do this.
Focus point.
All right. So a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to This Week in Photo. And far be it from us to bring up another photography podcast and you know, mess about with their topics. But this particular case, I thought it was interesting. And I thought it needed to be said. Everybody over there was raving about how, hey, it's great that iPhones have manual controls now, but what iPhones need now is the ability to use the raw files of the photos and muck about with that. And I thought about it for a little bit, and I thought, that might be a stupid idea.
Yeah.
And here's why. Has anybody ever messed around with the raw, not the raw files, but with the manual functions and then raw files of a point and shoot camera?
No.
I'm sure people have, but I tend to not mess around with much with the point and shoot cameras because they are in fact point and shoot cameras. They're kind of like no mess, no fuss kind of cameras. And when we got manual functions for the iPhone, it suddenly became work again.
Yeah.
I mean, to paraphrase a long conversation we had last time.
Well, actually, Apple didn't make it work for us because I think the way their native app is perfect. But
no, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. A lot of companies, they threw down and made manual function cameras and – yeah, I just don't really use the manual functions all that much. The only thing I'll use is maybe the exposure here and there and the HDR ability because of it.
Yeah, I've been using the native app, and when you hold it, it will set the focus
exposure setting.
Thank you. Focus and exposure. And then I can adjust up or down what I want the exposure to be.
Right.
It's so, very intuitive.
So bringing in the ability to get the raw files, here's what my big problem. The manual functions of the camera brought out some interesting things in that it made me understand that there's a lot more happening than just the, you know, just exposure settings and all that. Apple is doing a lot of behind the scenes stuff to make their photos look great.
Yeah.
When you, and knowing what we know with iPhone 6, there's a lot of stuff being handled software side to make the photo look great. So the raw files, I don't think are going to capture that. I think what we're going to see is kind of instead of getting the raw file where we can say, oh man, this is going to be great, I'm going to make this thing perfect, I think we're going to see that, you know, finally see the wizard behind the curtain, and it's, I don't think we're going to like what we see.
Yeah. You shoot weddings, and you with your Canon, you shoot raw, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. In what other setting would you actually shoot raw in outside of your weddings?
With that camera, I will always use raw.
But you're not using that camera all the time. You're using your Fuji or your iPhone, correct?
Right. And with my Fujis, I shoot essentially JPEG only because the JPEGs actually are produced really well.
Yeah. And same thing with the iPhone. You know, the JPEGs are produced very well as long as you know how to get the correct lighting. You set up your scene. You're not, you know, trying to create something out of nothing.
I think we're always creating something out of nothing.
No, well, but you know, you're not looking, you're pointing your phone at the pitch black of space and creating some sort of a galaxy in it. You know, there's
nothing there. What kind of photography have you been taking? I think what we got to look at is an APS-C sensor and a full-frame sensor, a full-frame CMOS sensor is very, very different from the sensor in your iPhone,
yes,
which is very tiny in comparison.
Yes.
And therefore, it's going to have different, I don't know if this is the right word to use, but different physics involved in capturing the light. It's
sure.
It's using different abilities. So making that comparison, trying to make your iPhone more into your DSLR camera, I think is a big mistake. Just like taking a point-and-shoot camera and making it like your DSLR is a mistake. even though those those point and shoots have manual functions, they're not exactly easy to use and they're not exactly fun. So most people just go JPEG and shoot automatic, and you know what? That's fine. That's the way to go. It's easy. It's designed for no mess, no fuss kind of photography. And I think that's what I think having more manual functions in the iPhone. This is me personally saying this. I'm not saying that everybody should follow this, but I don't find the manual functions all that fun. This is something that I've craved for a long time.
Right.
Saying, hey, wouldn't it be great? You know, we'd have all these manual functions. We'd be able to use the touchscreen. Well, now I find the touchscreen very cumbersome. Doing manual functions on that really, really is awkward. I much rather prefer dials and buttons instead of touchscreen. Mm-hmm. Especially after using my Fujis. My Fujis, I have a dial here for aperture, a dial here for my shutter speed. I have another dial for my exposure settings. And, it's a completely different world.
The 645 Pro allows us to be able to use some of those functions, in a touch setting, but on our screen, button setting. And sometimes I think it's actually doing the opposite of what I want it to do in its functions. I actually went back to using PureShot, same company, it's pretty much the same stuff, but it was back to, point the scene to the light source and set the white balance, and then I can use my hand as a as an exposure setting for getting 18% gray, and then take the shots, and I do the same thing, but I'm not messing with the ISO, I'm not messing with the shutter speed, and then I'm able to get the shot of what I want to do. If I had to do the manual settings with the iPhone, say at a game or a recital, something that my kids were doing, I'd lose the shot every single time.
Yeah,
I would not get it at all. And I think we were like, yeah, let's get the manual settings. Let's do it. It's going to make it that much greater. And then we got it, and they're like, not really. So when they bring
We can only speak to our inner circle. I don't know how many other people are actually. I mean, other people might actually be saying, "Hey, this is great. I'm effing king of the world."
Yeah.
To them, I say, "Great. I'll show us your photos. We'd love to learn."
But then you bring it back to this whole RAW concept, and I quit using RAW 3 years ago. I stopped using it because it was more work than what I was needing to actually do.
Right.
And even though it is a compressed image compared to what RAW is, JPEG is actually still really good. You can still get a lot of information out of it that you want. And the programs that we're using on our phone is bringing out a lot in those JPEG images. So my question is, okay, and you had mentioned to me before with wedding dresses, but other than that, why else would I need a RAW image to work on when it's going to be a JPEG that I'm posting?
Matt, do you want to talk to that? You have more of experience with landscape side.
Yeah, well, from a iPhone standpoint, I don't think there is any good reason to have a raw file. Just based off like what most people are doing with their pictures and like the way that the vast majority of people edit with, you know, apps that apply filters and stuff.
Right.
Having whatever benefits you could possibly have from a raw file, those benefits would probably be just lost.
Negligible at best.
Yeah, but, you know, they'd be lost just by the way that we edit on an iPhone. But I, this is kind of getting off the topic of iPhones, but I still believe that a raw file, I still think it really just depends what you're doing. For landscape, I just can't fathom shooting JPEG. And right. the reason for that is just that there's so much more information in a raw file, and that's really where the dynamic range of your sensor shines, is in the raw file. You could open up the shadows, you could, you know, recover highlights in your details much better in a raw file than you can in a JPEG. A JPEG is essentially a processed image already. You know, there's certain things going on in the camera, like sharpening, contrast, saturation, and you can control the amount of those things in your settings. But, you know, essentially you're getting a processed image when you shoot JPEG. And there's certain situations where that is great, because maybe you're in a hurry to get those images off your camera and get them to a client, or, you know, to a magazine or some sort of publication. You don't have time to be messing around with, you know, Photoshop or Lightroom or something. So JPEG makes total sense. But for like a landscape photographer that's going to spend the time to make the best image they could possibly make, RAW is totally the way to go. However, a landscape photographer that's trying to make the best image they could possibly make is not going to be making that image with an iPhone.
I laugh a little inside if a great landscape photographer with his imagine Tim Kemple bringing his phase one out into a landscape area. I only do JPEG only.
and I don't want to get people to get the wrong idea. I love shooting landscapes with my iPhone. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a different experience from a camera.
It is. And that's the other thing. You know, Mark, you were saying earlier that, you know, we shouldn't be trying to make our iPhones into DSLRs.
Right.
And I totally agree with that. I want these to be two separate experiences for me. You know,
yeah.
I want my Sony camera to be one experience, and I want shooting with my iPhone to be a completely different experience. And that's why I grab one or the other.
Let me ask you this, Matt. Would true HDR with the iPhone, would you be able to get more detail if you did a 3-bracketed shot compared to a RAW?
Wait, say that again?
Okay. So when he was talking about bringing out detail in the shadows and some of that stuff, would an HDR image, how would it fare, say, if we had an HDR from an iPhone or a RAW from an iPhone? You know, I'm not comparing apples and oranges when it comes to DSLRs, you know, or mirrorless, you know, with the iPhone. But if we had a raw image to be able to bring out detail, would an HDR, you know, JPEG be equivalent, less, or better than, say, a raw?
Matt, you want to flip for this one?
I can answer the question. Unfortunately, there's too many variables to say one way or the other. However, I would say in most cases, you probably are going to get more. You're going to see more details in the shadows and highlights in an HDR. But it really just depends on the dynamic range that you need to cover.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, for instance, last summer when I was still in New England, I met up with Mark and a couple other people in the White Mountains, and we shot at a place called Sabinet Falls. And, you know, you have the waterfall, which is bright white water, and there's like some rock overhangs, and way in the back of the rock overhangs, it's, you know, almost pitch black. But the day itself was kind of a gray day. It was very even lighting, and I did not shoot HDR, and in aperture, I was able to get details at both ends of the spectrum. But if it had been like a sunny day where you had, you know, a greater dynamic range, there's no way the sensor in my Sony camera would have been able to cover that. So if I wanted to get those details at both ends, you know, both shadows and highlights, I would have needed to do HDR. So it really just depends on the conditions and what you're trying to do.
Okay.
In addition to that, it really does make a difference about what kind of sensor you have.
It does.
Like, you know, the dynamic – I'm sorry, go on, Matt.
Yeah, well, it's probably what you were going to say. The sensors in the newer cameras nowadays just have a much broader dynamic range that they can capture than sensors from, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And the size of the sensor makes a difference too. I mean, you look at a full-frame sensor compared to a medium format sensor, the dynamic range that's able to be captured, just the amount of light that's that you're capturing is a huge difference. You're able to extrapolate. there goes me sounding smart for a time. You're able to get more from the shadows and highlights from a medium format camera than you can from a full frame. And likewise, you're going to get more out of an APS-C sensor or a full frame sensor than you would from a tiny sensor that's in your iPhone. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. So an HDR photo would be more beneficial to you on an iPhone than I think a RAW file. I don't know. Here's the thing. We don't know what a RAW file would be on a, on one of the iPhone sensors. We just don't know because it doesn't exist. But I would imagine that the if it was a straight up JPEG between straight up JPEG and a straight up RAW file, I don't know how much of a difference that would make. But as it is, the iPhone takes several pictures that looks like one photo, at least with the sixes now. So we just don't know.
The closest thing that we can come to RAW is the TIFF files that are produced from 645 Pro and PureShot. That, you know, I do notice that when you click on to view the TIFF files, it takes like a second or two longer for that image to actually fully resonate on the screen. So to me, that gives the impression that there's more information there that it's having to process.
You know what? I'm actually going to do a test this week, the difference between a TIFF file and a JPEG file with the Pure app. Yeah. I think it's worth looking into. I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make. I don't even know how much more detail it's going to capture. I'm willing to bet that it's not going to be much. All you're doing is just getting a bigger file.
Yeah. Well, we kind of bring this all up because this week Nokia had announced that they're wanting to be the first phone that would produce RAW photos. And so the question is, you know, is that a feature that we want? Would it be advantageous for us to have it? You know, or is it just going to be one of those, hey, we can do that? So, you know,
it's just marketing, pure and simple. They want to appeal to the professional market, professional photographer market, in hopes that it will drive other consumers in there.
Yeah.
But every photographer is probably saying, oh, that's great. I'll totally get that. And they'll lay down in their beds next to their iPhone saying, I didn't mean what I said, baby.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, I thought that was a good conversation.
Until I made it disturbingly bad at the very end. I'm not taking it back. I know that's happening somewhere.
Any last thoughts, Matt, or are we done with this?
I think we're done.
Okay, good. Well, let's go ahead and move into post pick of the week.
All right, and I will play that soundbite in just a moment.
Post pick of the week.
Yay. All right, Mark, it's your turn.
All right, I picked a really cool fall photo. It's from some dude in Ohio named M. Hoffman Photo? I don't even know if that's his. Ohio.
Ohio.
He's from Ohio.
Huh.
I don't know where like, that is. It must be Sweden.
It's in Asia or something.
Probably. It's of a stone cottage with a beautiful fall selling, yes, this week alone. It's a fall setting and really great contrast, really beautiful colors, and everybody should check it out. M. Hoffman Photo. It's a stone cottage at the Heinz Hill Conference Center. Wow, that must be Hong Kong then.
Was this the wedding?
Yes.
The ruse is up.
Yeah.
They're on to us.
Yeah, that's a great shot, Matt.
Thank you.
That looks good. And if you would like to have your photos featured for Post Pick of the Week, man, did I say that bad?
Pulled a Moxie there.
For Post Pick of the Week, just hashtag your photos Tiny Shutter. And I do have to bring this up because we kind of got scolded. Last episode was episode 100, and Fred Zelders from Holland, he wrote in on our episode on tinyshutter.com. He said that, you know, he says, thanks again for this episode. He says, I'm disappointed because you did nothing with the Instagram posts tagged with hashtag TinyShutter100. And I was like, wait, we said something about TinyShutter100? And then Mark was like, yeah, I did. So we blame Mark for that.
I will give myself this.
Dylan, you son of a bitch.
There you go. I just got slapped by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I could tell that I think we had almost 400 photos under that hashtag, and the mighty Kev and Fred Zelders were the ones posting in it. So sorry about that, guys, but thanks for continuing to do that.
Well, here's what happened. Like, I think around episode 75, we said, you know, let's build up to 100. It's going to be an epic experience. We're going to have like a freaking circus clown come in and trampoline artists. And, we tried to hire Van Halen, but then we realized that no one listens to Van Halen anymore. And, you know, all that stuff. And apparently I'm the only one that likes Sammy Hagar in the world. And then I realized he's not even part of the band anymore. I'm like, psh, where was I? I'm kidding. I knew he wasn't part of the band. But I still like Sammy Hagar, so F you, everybody. If that doesn't get us a one-star review, I don't know what will.
Yeah, I think we'll be skipping on the variations from Tiny Shutter because we will end up forgetting about it. Because I think we probably have some other ones.
It's not that we didn't forget about it. It's just that there was just so much going on. And I mean, if anybody didn't notice this, we didn't really do much for episode 100. It just kind of came and went. We just kind of went, yay, it's here. And then
it was a fun episode.
Oh, it was a great episode. Our other episodes that you can find on the podcast app.
No, we used Siri in it, and it turned out to be a pretty good episode.
All right. It was an episode that was fun for you guys. Freaking Siri. flash. Hang on for a minute. If this was video, you'd see my flashback. But yeah, I mean, we didn't know what we were going to do for the episode 100, and we just kind of went to the wayside. So I don't know. Thank you, everybody, for contributing your photos. Please keep doing so at hashtag Tiny Shutter, and we promise episode 200 will be better.
Yeah, we
start tagging your pictures now.
Tiny Shutter 200.
It'll be 201, and then we get a note and we look and like, shit. Oh, there's about 4,000 photos there. No, we appreciate it. This is, you know, Tiny Shutter hashtag in Instagram is, you know, it's a great way for us to get to see your photos. We get to know, you know, a little bit of who's listening to us, and it helps us to, you know, to show that we're not just talking into thin air, even though sometimes we feel that way.
Well, that's a Skype problem.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Skype will cut out on us. Thanks, Skype. We're very thankful for our listeners and the people who contribute. And, you know, we're going to try to find other ways, too, of getting you guys involved and making it, making it something that fans of the show want to do. So, all right. Well, I think we are done for today. So let's go ahead and close this out, unless anybody has anything else to say.
Dylan! You son of a bitch.
Matt, tell the world where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Mark, where can they find you?
You can find me under the table saying mea culpas to everybody. But if you can't find me there, I'm on Instagram, thatpolishphotographer, and I am on Twitter. I am mostly Marcus.
Awesome. And you can find me on Instagram at Joseph Herrera. I haven't posted anything in a while. I've been kind of on a social media escape. But I am slowly but surely getting back into Instagram, and I'll start posting more stuff. You can also find us on Instagram at Tiny Shutter Podcast and Facebook. Facebook.com/Tiny Shutter. Normally we record these shows on Friday nights and we do a live broadcast on Alpha Geek Radio, but we didn't have time this Friday. But if you are interested in listening to us live, be sure to tune in, mostly because you probably don't have anything else better to do on a Friday night.
No one does anything on Friday nights.
We do a live show. Shannon Guy and Maud Byrne are there usually in the chat room, and they're lonely. So we need you guys to come join us. Put your input into the show. Talk with Shannon and Maud and have fun. You know, listen to us live. You can hear how the sausage is made, and then get some good laughs. So
spoiler alerts. It's not pretty.
It's not pretty. Oh. All right, Mark, why don't you lead us out of here?
You got it.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
And that's all for this week. Boom.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Hooray for Zoidberg.
Woohoo! Yay!